unfolding here. What I'm holding here is from the Buffalo magazine section of the newspaper in January of 1990. It is an extended article on the saga of Floyd Collins. You wouldn't likely know that name. You see, Floyd Collins was a pelunker, a splunker. Okay? A splunker. Aha, I had to look it up in the dictionary too. It's a cave hunter. Ah, yes. Now some shook their head, they recognized that. this was a look back to 1925.
Right.
And it riveted the attention of the whole nation. And we think that when something tragic happens and there's a lot of focus on it, that this is, you know, sort of new for our generation. No, this, back in 1925, the newspapers carried everything. They just weren't able to do it instantaneously. But the whole nation was riveted by it. There were thousands of people, 10 to 15,000 curious people that went to where this happened. In February 2nd and February 17, 1925, newspaper articles tell the compelling drama of that era. The heartbreaking failure to free Floyd Collins, 37, from Sand Cave, Kentucky. You see, he was an uneducated cave hunter, and he was held fast, trapped, by his own discovery in the Mammoth Cave area between Nashville, Tennessee, and Louisville, Kentucky. And during those 2 weeks, a circus atmosphere prevailed before the death overtook the explorer. The governor eventually called out the National Guard to keep order. And there was even a time when the whole scenario was dubbed a hoax, but that Collins wasn't actually there, but he was. At the scene at Sand Cave, which was the dateline of thousands of news stories, it was quite the media event as radio broadcast what was taking place, and many newspapers had printed extra inserts, you know, similar to what I'm holding, though this isn't from 1925. It's about 1925. Collins was full of heart and courage when he first was reached. He was trapped in a 10-foot-long channel. Let me get a picture of that. Barely wider than his body. Now, what came to my mind, though it's not 10 foot long, is an MRI. How many of you have had an MRI? Okay. You lay on a table, the table slides into a tube. And I'm not sure how long it is. I don't think it's 10 foot long. But, you don't have any room. If you're claustrophobic, you need to use what they call the open MRI method, because you go nuts in the tube. I didn't used to have a problem till the last one I had. And I did a lot of praying. They play music. I did a lot of singing. If I need another one, it's going to be the open MRI. So he was trapped in this 10-foot-long channel, barely wider than his body. He was locked in it 55 feet down, about 115 feet from the cave entrance. His arms were pinned to his side and his legs were immobilized. The underground temperature stayed about 54 degrees, and water from the overhead limestone formation dripped, dripped, dripped on his gaunt face. Collins was a cave explorer when he was a boy. He went underground every chance he had, looking for the magical cave. And he was a loner many times in this perilous business. But sometimes he was joined by his brothers, Marshall and Homer, 28 and 22. And they found him down there. And now I'm looking for the information that tells how there were many attempts to put a harness around Collins, but it only caused excruciating pain. You see, a boulder had fallen down and trapped him. And so they wondered about amputating his legs. The doctor was willing to do so, but he could not get in a position to do it. Miller and Robert Burden of the Louisville Fire Department, Lieutenant, he made a last desperate try to pry up the boulder with a car jack and crowbar, but it did not work because the jack kept slipping off, the boulder kept slipping off the jack. Amid these frustrations, the state stepped in and Lieutenant Governor ordered a 5-foot vertical shaft dug close to Collins' position. It was a pick and shovel assault through the dirt and limestone. Explosives would be too dangerous. Rain and snow flurries hampered the volunteers for 2 days. And by the following Saturday, the shaft was dug 55 feet down, and the workers began a lateral passage toward the niche that had trapped Collins. At 1:30 Monday, a shout reached the surface, "We're there!" One of the workers with a flashlight broke through the dirt and he saw the man's head below. And minutes later he said, "Dead." They didn't make it, though they tried. Trapped by his own discovery, searching for the big find, searching, however, in dangerous places, he searched alone. Let me tell you what this reminds me of. Let me tell you how this is a picture of some Christians. I hope it's not a picture of you, but if it is, take heed. This is a picture of Christians who are not content to live the way God wants. And that way we know of from the scriptures. Christians who think that God doesn't know what he's talking about. Christians who think that somehow because the Bible is old, it's outdated. And of course, many old books are outdated, but this isn't just a book. By its configuration, it's the Word of God. And that's what keeps it from being contemporary, even though it's old. That indeed is unique. This trapped cave searcher reminds me of Christians who are sure that there is some thrill out there in the world that will make them happier than what God can make them.
Oh, yes, that's good.
Yeah. So off they go into the dangerous tunnels of sin, certain that they can find easy, quick excitement and satisfaction beyond that which they came into contact since they got saved. These people go alone. because they go without the safety of the Holy Spirit's guidance. They go alone without the help of good friends. They go alone without the wisdom of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27 gives us something to consider. Listening to the wrong people will always hinder your life. Now, people who don't believe me think that somehow they are the exception. Do you know what that means? That means you have a very high image of yourself. That means you think you're smarter than anybody else. Now, you may not intend that to be the case, but in the fact that you believe that you won't be hurt, hindered, hampered by going into areas you shouldn't, you think you can make it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." Stop! Don't listen to the things that supposed friends, acquaintances. Stop! Don't listen to that, because it's going to cause you problems. Don't listen to advice and influence that leads you away from God and what is right, no matter who it is. You say, "Well, it's my brother, and he comes to church here. It's my cousin, and they come to church here." Listen, it doesn't matter who it is. If they're giving you wrong advice,
yes,
it's wrong.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That only means that then we have two wrong people. Only listen to things that are in agreement with the Word of God. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't agree to it. Do you notice that word entice? They entice you. They make it look good. They make it sound good. Go ahead, come along. Yeah, go ahead, let's do this. It's okay. They're enticing you. I like the way evangelist John Rice put it. All of Satan's apples have worms. Okay? It looks good, but it's not. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15 says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them." Don't go with them. "Refrain thy foot from their path." Come on, we're going to do it tonight. How about you go along? No, I can't tonight. Let me tell you young people something. God gave you parents to help you.
Amen.
And therefore, if you saying no to someone is difficult for whatever reason, it's okay for you to say, "No, my dad won't let me."
That's right.
It's okay to say, "No, my mom won't let me." If you don't have the courage to say to them, "No, that's wrong," which you probably wouldn't have the courage to say that because of being with such people and them thinking to entice you, then you are allowed to hide behind your parents. That's why God gave them. Now, hopefully you'll grow stronger in character and stronger in God's grace, so that there'll come a time when you can just simply say no. But if you're growing in that way, you're not going to be hanging around those kind of people. Oh, they're in school where you are. They work where you do. You see them. That's not wrong.
Right.
It's just that you don't have to participate with them.
Mm, yes.
And when they get the idea you're not going to do that, okay, then that type of temptation may cease, but something else will come, okay, for sure. And so how does one consent? How does one consent to sin? It's simple. It's by saying yes rather than saying no. Okay, that's how you consent to sin. You say yes to it. You say, okay, I'll do that. I'll think that. Protect your mind, what you think. Because your actions only come when your mind puts something into gear. Mm-hmm. And why would a Christian say yes to sin? You know the Bible answers that? The book of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible tells us why a Christian would say yes to sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24, using the life of Moses to give this instruction. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he was a young man. We could, for certain, that would mean a teenager. It could be somebody older. But by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, she found him in the little bulrush, in the bulrushes, in the little basket. She raised him as her own. He lived in the house of Pharaoh, in the court. He had all advantages he could ever possibly think of. But he came to a place where he said, I want to identify with my people. Okay, the Jews, rather the Israelites, they would have been called that, rather than with Pharaoh's. And it says here, choosing rather, there's a choice he made, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He knew in making this choice, it wasn't going to be easy. But he made the right choice anyway. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than, here's what he could have chosen, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, right there it is. There is pleasure in sin. That's why Christians say yes. There is pleasure in sin. Don't make the mistake of telling somebody who's really tempted and wanting to do, well, that's no fun. I mean, they're sitting there laughing at you. And besides that, just look back in your own life. Many times we did what we did because we liked it.
That's right.
It was enjoyable. Ah, but every one of Satan's apples has a worm.
That's good.
And Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That means a short while. See, the whole year is made up, in our case, of four seasons. And you can enjoy the pleasures of sin, but it's only for a short while. And after that comes the consequences. Whatsoever a man sows, that must he also reap. Christians need to know that the pleasures of sin are not sufficient. Any who are certain that God is keeping something from them, any who believe that mom and dad don't know how to have a really good time, I get a kick out of that with young people. Okay? Oh, dad and mom don't know how to have a good time. Listen to me, young people. Your dad and mom just don't tell you everything they did because they're, number one, ashamed of much of it. And number two, there's no benefit in you knowing the sort of stuff that they've been in.
That's right.
And that they did. Okay? You would lose respect for them. But this idea that they just don't know because they're old. I mean, every older person here is smiling and chuckling. I mean, you gotta be kidding. You think life began with you? You think all that's happening is just since you've been come on the scene? Get real. I'm tempted to go into some of the demonstrating that's going on now in our main cities, okay? But I can't go there. I don't have time, and it's not my purpose. But what made me think of that was the term "get real." Okay? So many times people think, "Oh, this is traumatic. Oh, this is awful. What's going to happen?" You know what? The sun's going to go down tonight, and the sun's going to come up in the morning, and life is going to go on, and all that's going to happen. His grades are going to be hurt. Some are going to get jail sentences out of it, I expect. They should. And so, just, you know, get real. Deal with life. So if you think, well, Dad and Mom don't know. Dad and Mom know more than you will forget. Isn't that the way the saying goes? I know more than you'll ever forget. You know, and you're not the first. You're not the first one to think that God's keeping something from you. Boy, if I wasn't a Christian, boy, if I didn't have Christian parents, boy, if my family wasn't church-going people, I'd be able to do this, I'd be able to do that. You know who the first one that used that line of reasoning was? Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
Eve, yeah, Adam and Eve, back in the garden, yeah, the beginning of people. She thought God was keeping something from her. Why did she think that? Because in her case, the devil came to her directly, personally, and enticed her. Now, Proverbs warns, beware of other people who will entice you. The devil will work. Listen, if you are a Christian, or even if you're not saved, but your parents are, you have a Christian home, the devil is out to defeat you in any and every way he can.
Yeah.
In the Sunday school lesson, we talked about in the book of Revelation chapter 12, how he is identified as the accuser of the brethren, of the Christians. The devil wants to defeat you. You want the pleasure of sin, but I tell you, you cannot have the pleasure of sin without the consequences of sin. Some people say, well, I'll just do it once. I'll just do it for a little bit. I'll just enjoy it a little while, and then I'll quit. There's a gospel song, and if Mrs. Hain wasn't dealing with her back issue, we'd be singing it at this point. Some of you have heard it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will hold you longer than you'll ever know. Okay? And the whole song is about this very theme. I'll just enjoy it for a little while, and then I'll quit. There's a lot of people in jail today. Brother Dale's going to go to the Allegheny County Jail. There are people there who thought they could just do it for a little bit, and then they'll quit. Yeah, they are quitting because they're in jail now. They're not doing it now. And that's what the Bible says when it says to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And you say, well, the pleasure, the people are so taken with pleasure that we live in a pleasure-crazed society, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Pleasure only lasts a short while. Then what? Then you live with the mark of sin and its consequences.
Right.
Now, if you're knowledgeable with head knowledge, you say, well, yeah, but I know, but I can go to God and ask him to forgive me and he'll forgive me. If you're approaching it with that mentality, it's questionable as to whether you'll ever go.
That's right.
I mean, genuine. You might just go in outward actions, but in genuine, it's such as to really have God control your life. But nevertheless, your life will be marked. Let's imagine that you are one who is able to get away from it and genuinely repent and change and go away from the sin. Your life will still be marked by it. We could take the rest of the afternoon and we could start on any side of the church and we could ask people to tell us how sin has marked their life.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they're saved now. They're born again now. They're living as much as possible godly now. Their sin is marked. Their life is marked by sin. There's things they remember that they'd love to get out of their head. And just about the time they think they don't have to think about it anymore, there it is. And they regret it. But they can't change it. You say, well, hasn't God forgiven it? Yes, he has, indeed. But it still marks their life. Why? You see, that's the consequences of sin.
Yeah.
And we are telling you the things we're telling you so that you don't have to live with those consequences.
Yes, yes, that's it, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, yes.
God said whatsoever. As a matter of fact, God promised this. You know, we think about the promises of God. And generally, when you talk about the promises of God, people are thinking positive. And that, there are many promises in God's word that are positive. But you know, there's other promises in God's word. God made a promise that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Huh? You see? You think you can go down some long, narrow, dark cave and not get trapped? You'll not escape. God gave you another promise. Not only whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap, but he also said, your sin will find you out. You've sinned against God, and your sin will find you out. Oh, you might pull it past dad and mom. You might pull it past the people at church. You might end up wherever and away from all of this. But God's word is true, and your sin will find you out. There's an old saying, I don't know if you've heard it or not, the chickens will come home to roost. Now that's just an everyday saying of whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And just like the spelunker, that cave hunter, out of safety, out alone, out without help. And sin has trapped so many a person. Some smart aleck people ask, well, what is sin? Who gave you the right to say what's right and what's wrong? How come what you say is wrong? How come maybe I'm right? Well, now with human reasoning, there's a valid argument. If all that we had was human reasoning, yeah, your way, what makes your way wrong and my way right? I could be wrong, you could be right. But,
that's right.
But we're not left with just human reasoning. We can answer, what is sin? Now, often, sometimes when people say, what is sin? They start naming different things. No, those are just the actions of sin. Okay? They're just the actions of sin. And I had it put to me this way years and years ago, back when the cars used to have hubcaps to them. Now they call them wheel covers. Okay, and back then, a man is a thief not because he steals hubcaps, but he steals hubcaps because he's a sinner. Okay? In his heart. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Right back near the end of the Bible. 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Three little letters he wrote. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." Here it is. For sin, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. God gave the law. And that's not just, it definitely includes the law of Moses, the law given to Israel, but it includes all of what God wants. That's right. It's in the Bible. And sin is breaking what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." So a person goes out and steals. Well, I don't, it's just, it was just one of them hubcaps. It's not a big deal. Yeah, but it's breaking God's law. The Bible tells us we're not to take God's name in vain. Well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Yeah, but it's still breaking God's law. It's not quantity. You can forget this quantity-quality business. It's just the fact that if God's law says something and we don't live that way, we go against it, we're breaking it. You see, the Bible actually even... God names sin all through the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, let's turn to that. It's as just so many lists, you know, so many lists that the Bible gives us. And we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6. As soon as we get there, many of you are going to recognize the passage, and those of you that know this passage probably already know where we're going. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 16. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him." That's extreme hatred. What are they? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, we look at that, we realize there are so many actions that a person has that you'd have to slot it in, you know, that action that was just committed. What is that? Is that bearing a false witness? That's sticking up for a buddy or a friend who's done something wrong. And it may just be mom or dad who says, "Did you see him do that?" "No, man, I didn't see him. I was down at 7-Eleven when that happened. I didn't see him, but you know he did it." What are you doing? You're bearing a false witness. Yes. Is what you're doing. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Yeah. You see, you might not even do in actions some things, but in your heart you can be devising many a wicked thing. So things that we do can be a problem. Ephesians, back in the New Testament. You say, "Well, that's Old Testament. Got you covered." Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. He tells us as Christians we're to put away these things. You see, as Christians, we don't automatically stop doing things. What we get when we get salvation is God living in us. We have his forgiveness. Yes, the promise of heaven in the future. But we also receive his Spirit to live in us, so that we can say no to the things that still tempt us. Before a person gets saved, they only have one nature. The Bible refers to it as the old nature. When a person gets saved, they now have two natures. The old nature's still there. They also get a new nature. And we are able to live through the new nature. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Should I prove this one? I could prove this one by asking, is there anybody here who has never lied? And if the person raised their hand, we'd know that they are what?
Liar.
Yeah. Wherefore putting away, well, yeah, there's no big thing. Mom asked if I took the trash out, and I said yes, and I know I didn't. It's a lie. It's a lie. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. You see, to be angry and upset with things that are wrong, no problem with that. It's just that if you allow yourself with that anger against that sin to take action, you say, what do you mean? I remember hearing a story about an evangelist who preached a rip-snorting message against Hollywood and theaters and movies. This would have been probably back in the 30s. And this guy got so upset, so angry, okay, at the sin that was there, that he took a hatchet, went down to the local theater, went up in the projection room and chopped up the machine and the films and spent 2 years in jail. You see, be angry, but don't sin. Okay? You can be angry against wrong, but you don't sin as that anger is expressed. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Frequently hear this illustrated with like a husband and wife relationship, and they've had an argument and something's not right, and what I've heard expressed is don't go to bed without making it right. And now there are other relationships. It might be something with a person at work, and you're just not able before you actually go to bed to get the thing straightened out. In a husband-wife relationship, the way you handle it is simply to say, okay, I know I didn't react right. If you know you're wrong, just flat out say, I know I'm wrong, okay? Or if it isn't as straight or clear as, you know, I'm wrong, she's right, or whatever, okay? Then you can simply say, I know I didn't handle this right, and we need to discuss it in the morning. But I want you to know I love you, and we'll work it out. Okay? So you can go to bed with that much. You got a guy at work that you had you're on the outs with, and you can always give the guy a call. You say, yeah, it's 10:30 at night. Well, unless you know he goes to bed at 9, give him a call. And say, Bill, I know I had words with you at work today, and I've been thinking about that, and it troubles me, and I'm sorry for you. And I want to talk with you tomorrow about it and get it straightened out between us. Now, that guy's not going to be able to go to sleep. Okay? He's just going to lay awake wondering what in the world? What did he call me for? Why? Because people don't do this. But I'm just trying to give you illustrations of how these things can be lived. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying and building people up. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And he goes on in the next two verses, and but, you know, those are sins of commission, things we commit. But do you know that they're sins of omission? Things that we ought to do and don't, we omit doing them and they are sin. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What is that to that guy? To him it is sin. So you know what you ought to do, but you just don't do it. Well, that's sin. Well, I'm not trapped yet. I haven't gone into the cave as deeply as Floyd Collins did. And that's what a lot of Christians think. But let me ask, in case you'd be one of them, what are you living for? What is your goal in life? What is important to you? What do you think about? What do you dream about? What makes you happy? Listen to what Proverbs says. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Pleasures of sin for a season, okay? The bread of deceit is sweet, tastes good while you're eating it. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Oh, it tastes good while you're doing it, but after a while, it's like you're chewing on a bunch of stones. Things don't turn out right. And a lot of times, it changes even while the person is doing it. Let me urge you to look to God, to live for him. God is praying for us. He told Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. God's praying for us. If you're facing now a temptation, or if in the future you face one, if you're now in a situation that you may feel trapped, no way out, or if in the future that happens, remember, God is praying for you. And he wants you to come to him, to look to him. If you do, he's promised that he would be there for you. God is faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the direction of your word, the comfort of your word, the challenge of it, the remedy of it. Lord, I pray you speak truth in our hearts. May we not forget what we've heard this day. Not only remember it, but Father, enable us to live it. We pray in